Good evening and welcome to another edition of Midwest Beat here on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lounges, and tonight we're going to pay tribute to a gentleman that gave so much to music, influenced so many people in so many genres and so many styles, and left his fingerprints all over modern blues. Yesterday was the 35th anniversary of the passing of the late, great Muddy Waters. Muddy was born McKinley Morganfield on April 4, 1915 in Mississippi. He grew up immersed in the Delta blues, and in 1943 followed the migration to Chicago and began playing in clubs. He was a primary member of the Chess Records family. He gave us great music and influenced all. Tonight, we remember Muddy Waters after this. Good evening, welcome to Midwest Beat. I'm your host, Tom Lounges, and tonight we are paying tribute to a gentleman whose fingerprints are all over modern blues. He is the father of modern blues. He influenced rock and roll in a way that very few people have, influencing Zeppelin, the Yardbirds, the Rolling Stones, and of course, all the groups that they influenced down the road. I'm talking about McKinley Morganfield, better known to the general public as Muddy Waters. Muddy was born in Mississippi, moved to Chicago in 1943, started working in the mills like so many did, and he began playing the clubs. Later, he became the cornerstone of Chess Records in Chicago, along with Willie Dixon and so many others. Well, the reason we're celebrating Muddy Waters and his music tonight is yesterday was the 35th anniversary of Muddy's passing. And I would be remiss as a music fan, as a music journalist, as a radio host, to not acknowledge that milestone anniversary. Muddy, as I said, influenced so many different people. He was one of my favorite bluesmen of all time. I had the blessing of getting to meet him on two occasions. I had the chance to sit down with him in the small dressing room of the Point East, where I was working at the time he was playing shortly before his death, and share a cocktail and a story or two. And I just feel the need to play some music, play some Muddy music. And I hope you're in the mood to listen to it. Let's start things off with an album that he did a little later in his career, and it was produced by the late, great Johnny Winter, another one of my favorite bluesmen, another artist I had the opportunity to work with over the years. This is the title track of that album. He is, he was, he always will be, a King Bee.
I'm a King Bee, buzzing round. I'm a King Bee, buzzing round. Well, you know I can make good honey. Let me come inside. And all. can make a plenty, honey, when your man is not at home. Well, Lord,
he's a king bee. He is Muddy Waters, Mississippi Muddy Waters. What a great talent, what a great influence, what a pioneer we have in American blues music. And we are celebrating Muddy by playing nothing but Muddy all hour long as we remember him on this, the 35th anniversary of his death. Yesterday would have been the 35th actual anniversary that Muddy passed away in his sleep in his home of Westmont, Illinois. He was just 68 years old. He was a major influence on so many of us. And when I say us, I mean those in the music business, those that love music, and of course those that play music, like Eric Clapton and Cream, Led Zeppelin, Rolling Stones. In fact, the Stones took their very name from a 1950 song, Rolling Stone, that Muddy recorded. And I had the opportunity to meet Muddy a couple of times. I had the opportunity to meet Willie Dixon and Chuck Berry and some of these great pioneers and cornerstones of Chess Records and Chicago Blues. And it was a very big thrill. Of course, we're going to play a lot of his music tonight. And we're going to hopefully get a special guest calling in. But right now, let's go to a song that is a fun one because it's all about celebrating, I guess, at least if you're into champagne and reefer. This is Muddy Waters as we remember him on this anniversary.
All right. Okay, we're gone. Roll it. Yeah, bring me champagne when I'm thirsty. When I want to get high, yeah, bring me champagne when I'm thirsty. Bring me a reaper when I want to get high. Well, you know, when I'm lonely, bring my woman, settle right down here by my side. Well, you know, it shouldn't be no law. It's people that want to smoke a little dope. A little dope. Well, you know it's good for your head, and it relaxes your body, don't you know? We'll be right back.
just at least showed my name. So high this morning, it's going to be a crying shame. Well, you know I'm gonna stick with my reform. I ain't gonna be nothing wrong with no cocaine.
Pop the cork, roll your own. It's Champagne and Reefer with Muddy Waters. What a great song. This is the anniversary of Muddy's passing 35 years ago yesterday, and we are celebrating his music. And as I was mentioning, the influence that this man has had on so many people, and we all feel that loss. Can you imagine the loss we feel with Muddy Waters if you were actually his son? And I mean, we feel the loss. Can you imagine the loss of the family? And we do have my good friend, Joseph Morganfield, Muddy's youngest son, with us on the phone, I do believe. Joseph, are you with us?
How's it going, Tom?
Hey!
It's been a long time since I was over there, like maybe 3 or 4 months ago.
Yeah, I love having you on. And if you can't be here in person, well, I'm glad you're here by phone.
I cannot miss today, the tribute. Thank you for honoring my dad today. I really appreciate it.
No problem. As you know, last time you were here, we were talking about when he played at the Point East. He played there twice, and then the third time he wound up getting ill and shortly thereafter passed away in 83. April of 83
is
actually
correct.
It's when the club closed was April of 83, so it was kind of a double whack there. But as if just a few months prior, I believe, that he had canceled and Willie Dixon Trio filled in. But Meeting your dad was such an honor. And, I mean, I loved meeting Willie Dixon. I loved meeting Chuck Berry. But meeting Muddy Waters, I mean, that's an added level of depth. And you are the bloodline. You are performing. You are out there. Joseph Mojo Morganfield. Tell me a little bit about yourself. What's going on with you? You got dates coming up? How are things progressed for you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I started performing almost, I'm going on my second year now. Prior to that, I was on the sidelines looking and wanting to do it, but I got two brothers who are also out there performing, so I thought I'll wait my turn.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, things are starting to get busy for me. Mojo, I'm going to actually, I'll be in Indianapolis May 11th and 12th, and then I'm headed to California June 13th to the 17th. And then I'll be opening for Billy Branch at Buddy Guy's June 29th.
Oh,
so
wow.
So things are definitely picking up. Yeah, so we're excited.
Tell me about your band. Who's playing with you? Do you play with pickup bands? Do you have your own band? What's
Oh, no,
lineup?
I got my own bunch of guys. I got Crix Alexander. His dad, dancing Melvin Purvis, been on the scene for a long time now. But I got Chris on drums. Mike Flynn, the brother of Billy Flynn, on bass. Paul Hanover on harp. And Maurice Vaughn helps me out a lot. If I can't get Maurice, I'll go to a guy named Rick who also played with my father. I don't know if you know Rick Kerr.
Mm-hmm. I'm familiar with
him. Yes. Okay. Well, he was with my dad the second part of his career. So having him was a great addition.
Now, are you doing strictly your dad's songs? Last time we talked, you were dabbling with writing and getting some of your own stuff out there.
Exactly. Right now, I'm doing some of the songs, but I'm starting to get some songs to come in, and I'm going to do my own songs eventually. So hopefully we're looking to record that first CD sometime this year. So we're excited. But it probably be a couple of my dad's songs, but pretty much it's going to be my own stuff.
Mm-hmm. What's the response been from the blues community? I mean, to have the Morganfield name back in action, along with your brothers, of course, it's the legacy there. It's got to make people happy. What kind of feedback have you gotten from the old schoolers?
Oh, definitely, it's been so positive. People are excited. I just came out of the woodwork. They were like, who was you and where did you come from? Does he have any more sons? But like I said, Bill and Mud have been out here for a while now. And to hear that another son's doing it, know, people are excited to see any similarities or compare me to my brothers. But it's been, for the most part, I've been very welcoming.
Mm-hmm. Now, both Big Bill and Mutt are doing their own originals as well as your dad's music now. They've developed in that format. And is it kind of the template that you're looking to do, too?
That is correct. Set the foundation, start off with my dad, of course, but then branch off of my own stuff. So that's my game plan.
Now, have you done a lot or anything with Mudd and Big Bill as far as performing, or is there any talk of maybe recording? And, of course, in the blues, you guys all jam together. I mean, we're going to play something here in just a bit from Johnny Winter, James Cotton, and Muddy Waters.
Oh, yeah.
I could imagine Big Bill, Mudd, and you, Mojo, on the same stage recording something and just going crazy.
Yeah, that would be great if we could. That California gig coming up in June, actually, that's Big Bill and myself. We tried to get Mudd to get on, but his schedule wouldn't permit it. But that's the hope, so maybe get a tour going with the three of us, a Muddy tour with three sons. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people would definitely welcome that.
Well, we saw that with Lonnie Brooks, of course. When Lonnie was still with us, it was the Brooks family dynasty, I think they called the tour.
Exactly.
And they had the brothers and the dad and the whole bit out there. And, I mean, if you guys could do something like that, it would set the blues world on fire.
Yeah, we definitely are looking to put something together, something similar. So we're still in the beginning stage, trying to get it everybody on the same page, work with everybody's schedules. But hopefully, you know, it comes.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be great.
So
hopefully it comes to pass.
In the meantime, you're playing these dates kind of sporadically, but it looks like you've got some stuff coming at least every month now. What are you doing to occupy yourself as you gear up for more and more of the music side of your career now?
I'm actually working on a book, Tom. I've been writing a book about the years I spent with my father. I was fortunate enough to have him only for 10 years, but those 10 years were very special to me. And I was just trying to get it on page and to get it out there. My life, Muddy as the family guy, the man at home, not so much the musician,
mm-hmm.
but the dad. So that is my main project, one of my projects that I'm working on.
Well, we were talking, or I was talking, I should say, earlier in the show before you called about how the loss we all felt when Muddy passed in 1983. It's hard to believe it's 35 years already. But,
God, I feel so old. I was just sitting in high school.
But, you know, it was a blow to music. I mean, anytime we lose someone like Muddy or Willie or B.B. King or any of these wonderful performers, Fats Domino most recently,
exactly.
You can't help but mourn because you feel a part of your own self, your own love, your own being has been taken because we all grew up with these songs, whether they were Muddy's versions or Eric Clapton's versions or the Stones versions. We love the songs. They were part of our musical DNA. And when we lose someone like that, it can't help but impact us. But you, as I mentioned before you came on, he was your dad. I mean, that's such a big milestone more, a big hurdle more than the rest of us could possibly relate. What happened as far as when he passed? How did you get by? How did you get through with the family? What was the family reaction?
Well, you know what? Most of us didn't look at it as Muddy Waters passing. Well, especially myself. For me, it was more that my father had died. You know, he wasn't Muddy Waters at home. He wasn't the star. He was his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just a kid who grew up with chores and with discipline. And he was like any other father in America. I had to do stuff that I had to do, and I had to answer to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his fame and his name really didn't dawn on me until as I got older, you know. But as a kid, you know, I loved the blues, but I didn't really follow it, you know.
Right. That was your dad's music. That was more your thing, you know.
We all
revolt against our parents' music at some point.
But, yes, but the impact of his music, I didn't really know until I got older.
Mm-hmm.
That I have all these different artists loved him and admire him and pay their respects by doing music, his music. But it was definitely a big blow to my family, you know, losing the main foundation. But, you know, we move on, you know. But we move on. We love him. We miss him. but life goes on, and we made it a goal to keep his music alive, his legacy. So this is what we're doing now.
And again, he passed at a relatively early age, 68 years old. I thought he was older than that, but that's a young man still. He had so many more things to accomplish. Do you know what he was working on at that point? I know you were young, but what was his wish list at that point?
I know he was supposed to have been in that movie, The Blues Brothers, but he got ill. But as far as any other CDs he's going to put out, that I am not sure of.
Okay.
We were never put in the loop as far as his projects. Mostly, you know, we went to a lot of his concerts, but as far as what he was working on next, I wasn't sure of that.
Okay. What's the biggest lesson you learned from Dad? Not Muddy Waters, but from Dad. What's the thing that you carry with you that is him?
Responsibility. And I always keep it. It started off with me with just doing chores. The simplest things. Taking the garbage out or whatever my chores were, whatever responsibilities I had around the house. You know, and as I got older, those responsibilities, they grew. But it started with that. Being responsible, you know, saying something, keeping to your word. But that was the first lesson I learned was just to be responsible, be a responsible man, a parent, a brother, whatever the case. And I always kept that and gave it to my own children.
Okay. Now, I remember when he was performing live, it always seemed so natural, so unprepared, so easy for him. I mean, it just was like he was hanging out with his friends. It didn't seem structured. You know, you see concerts and it seems so formulated and so planned and every step is moved. But with Muddy, it just seemed like you were hanging out in the living room and he invited some of his famous friends to sit in and you just played the songs you knew and loved. And was he a casual kind of guy at home too? Or was he structured?
He was casual, friendly, a comedian, would joke and laugh and play. Until he was time to get, you know, to discipline you. Then all that went away, of course. But it was just, you know, he didn't really bring his work home. Once he got home, he wanted to rest, of course. My part of his life, he was up in age. So he wasn't that young Dancing Muddy, you know, back in the 40s and 50s and 60s.
Mm-hmm.
I moved with him in 70, 72. So from 72 to 83. You know, he was a pretty more, you know, he was an older gentleman at the time, but he was pretty reserved, and he believed in family. You know, we had family picnics and parties. Everything was family oriented.
Now, are you still close with a lot of the older bluesmen that are left with us? You still get to hang out with some of them and their families, for instance. You know, Willie Dixon's still got a lot of family in the area, and his grandson, Alex Dixon.
I see Freddie all the time and Tamika. The Taylors, Demetria, Tim, and Eddie, the Wayne's brothers. I know most of the blues. Their offsprings.
Mm-hmm.
Working with Lynn Orman, she has a PCA Blue, which promotes prostate cancer awareness, and that's called Father and Sons of the Blues. So it's most of the blues children who does the concerts.
Okay.
So, by doing that, I had the chance to meet most of them and perform with a lot of them.
Now, I know you have a Facebook page. Do you have a website as well?
Yes, I do. It's Joseph Mojo Morganfield. Go check it out.
All right. You got links to that project that you were just talking about with prostate cancer?
PCA Blue.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the link it said, but if you go in the PCA Blue, it should come up. Buddy Guy's like the spokesperson for it.
Okay.
So it's a great cause. We had our first one last year, so I expect one should be coming again up in June sometime, probably after the Blues Fest.
Okay. Can you stay with us for just a moment while we play a song?
I sure will, Tom. Thank you for having me, sir.
All right. Let's do a classic from Johnny Winter, James Cotton, and Muddy. Of course, this is a song that everyone knows and loves. And if you feel like getting up and dancing and shaking your groove thing or you want to sing along, go ahead and do that because this is the time to get your mojo working.
Yes, don't work it for me. Just don't work on you. Got my mojo working, but it just don't work on you. So bad to lie, don't know what to do. Got a gypsy woman killing me at night. Got a gypsy woman killing me.
James Cotton, they got their mojo working. And we're working it right now, remembering the late, great Muddy Waters on the 35th anniversary of his passing at the age of 68. He passed away right near here in Westmont, Illinois, at his home, peacefully in his sleep, as I understand. And Joseph, his youngest son, is with us and is carrying on the tradition of the blues, Chicago style, along with his older brothers, Mud and Big Bill Morganfield. And we've got him here. And Joseph, I've got to wonder, Johnny Winter was, he kind of, They resurrected each other's careers by joining together on albums like King Bee that I opened the show with. Did you ever get a chance to meet Johnny?
I met Johnny a couple times, actually. And yes, that was a great, great team, those two guys together. Almost as good as Muddy and Willie at the time. But, you know, Dad was at a rut. And Johnny came along and pretty much revived his career.
Mm-hmm.
And he all of a sudden got hot again. So yeah. That was great. That was a great, great move.
King Bee came out, I want to say it was 81. It was just a couple of years before his passing. And it was just such an amazing album. It put the name Muddy Waters back on the radar for the younger generation. Of course, local guys were on it. Bob Margolin on guitar, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Pinetop Perkins on piano. I mean, he was from out of here in Northwest Indiana, LaPorte. And Pinetop was a legend in his own right. And the lineup of people that came together to play with your dad over the years. Years. It was just, you could write a book about that.
That alone, exactly. Pinetop was a regular, though. He actually was with my dad's band for a while before he ventured out on his own. But I think my dad was famous for putting the best of the best together to get the best kind of music. And most of the guys who played with him ended up becoming great stars themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Roger played with him, and he did great things. Little Walter, and the list goes on. These guys off went on to do their own thing and were successful with it.
Wow. And you have a couple of them playing with you from the Latter Day bands.
Yeah, that's Rick, yeah.
Okay.
Rick was part of the second group.
What is coming up on May 11th and 12th? You're going to be in Indy. Where are you playing down there? What kind of event?
This is at a theater with Queen Delphine. You heard of her?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's her show, and she invited me to come and do a couple songs, so I'm excited. It was supposed to have been done in February, but something came up. We had to postpone it, but it's back up again on May 11th and 12th. Actually, it's on the 12th, but I'll be there on the 11th. We actually perform on the 12th.
Okay.
But some theater, and I'm excited. We get down there early, getting checked in, going to get a rehearsal in, and we're going to tear it up on Saturday.
Excellent, excellent. I did look up your website, by the way, josephmojomorganfield.com, and you do have a video link there to the PCA event.
Yes, I was fortunate enough to do two songs that evening. Each of the Blues sons or daughters were there to perform their father's songs. So I was there representing Muddy.
You mentioned June 29th you're going to be somewhere. Did you say New York?
No, June 29th, I'm opening for Billy Branch at Buddy Guy's Legend.
Oh, okay, in Chicago here.
That is correct, yes.
Well, Billy, that's a guy that I haven't seen in a long time either.
Oh, badass Billy, I call him. You know, he's another guy. You know, we got like 4 or 5 Grammy nominations.
Right.
But he's been in the game for a long time.
I remember.
Product of Willie Dixon, so.
I remember when he was one of the young bloods in the blues scene, when he signed with Alligator and was doing the Harp Attack albums and stuff. He was the
exactly.
up-and-coming. And,
he's his own man now. He's his own star. So
definitely.
Just open for him is quite an honor. So definitely excited.
We're going to play another song in just a few, and I'm going to let you go, but I want to hear a couple of personal memories of Muddy Waters the man. And the last time you were in the studio, you told us about how he would cook breakfast for you, and that was a great story. I'd love to hear a couple more if you got them.
Oh, no problem. No problem at all. One of my favorites, did we discuss the one with Eric Clapton coming to the house?
You mentioned that he came to the house, but you never told a story about it. You just said,
okay.
he stopped by the house one day.
You're going to love the story, Tom. Eric Clapton happened to come by the house, and for some reason, it got out on Westmount. It was like the whole town knew he was there, and people were going out of their way to stop by. Cars would drive by. People would knock on the door. People I hadn't seen or talked to in years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, this one particular girl I was trying to date for the longest, with no success, may I add.
All right.
All of a sudden, she comes to my house, knocks on the door. And I'm like, what are you doing here? I just want to reconsider. But we both knew why she was there, though. But it was funny. So I told Eric, he gets me a lot of dates.
Wow. That's a great one. Name drop and, see what happens. Was there a second date? That's the question.
Oh, of course. Yeah, it was like 20 dates.
All right.
It was like, who's coming over next?
Very, very good. Your favorite memory, if you had to sum up one memory of your years with your dad?
As a performer or just dad at home?
Either or, your choice.
I'm going to say dad at home. At the concerts, he would come home, and we could be sleeping. He would wake us up. As long as we didn't have school. Let me throw that in there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But we would wake up, and we have like a late, like a Denny's breakfast, like 2 or 3 in the morning.
Wow.
And we would just sit around and joke, and sometimes he'd count his money sometimes. The money just, so that was fun.
Wow. Sounds like your dad was a big breakfast guy.
Oh, yes. That was the most important meal of the day. So we always had to eat breakfast before school, before church, before everything. That was his thing. And
awesome.
He was a great, great cook. He did most of the cookings. Most of the cookings he did.
Did you inherit that from him?
Oh, yes. I can burn in the kitchen.
All right. I'll have to ask Connie about that and see.
She would definitely vouch. I'll smother chicken and cook greens. You name it, I could cook it.
All right. Well, I think we need to get together and have a barbecue this summer, Joseph.
All right. Sounds good, Tom. Listen, I'm looking forward to seeing you soon, sir.
All right. Take care and keep up with Joseph at josephmojomorganfield.com and look for him in Indy on the 12th and back at Buddy Guys with Billy Branch on June 29th. And then, of course, if you happen to be in California listening, June 13th through 17th, you'll be out there with his brothers. So we will talk. I have a couple of thoughts I want to run past you privately. So we'll talk soon.
All right. Sounds good. Hey, listen, I like that radio star. I've been checking you out. It looks good. I got to get down there and check it out.
Oh, excellent. You're talking about the internet one.
Yes.
Yeah.
It looks really good.
We'll have to have you come down for that. But
all right. Sounds good, Tom.
All right. Let's go back now to some earlier money. I mentioned how he was so influential to such groups as, of course, Cream and Eric Clapton. We just heard a great Eric Clapton story there from Joseph. Rolling Stones took their very name from the song Rolling Stone, 1950. But Led Zeppelin was known for, shall we say, borrowing a lot of blues influences. And when it came to Muddy Waters, they just came right out and, well, they borrowed it. This is the Muddy version of You Shook Me. Let's play it.
You shook me, baby. You shook me all night long. You know you shook me, baby. You shook me all night long. Kept on shaking me, darling. Oh, you messed up my happy home. You know you moved me, baby, just like a hurricane. You know you moved me, baby, just like a hurricane. Oh, you know you move me, darling, just like a earthquake move the land. Oh, sometime I wonder what my poor wife and child go to. Oh, sometime I wonder what my poor wife and child go to. Hey, don't you make me mistreat them, darling. Whoa, I'm madly in love with you. You know you shook me, baby. You shook me all night long.
You shook me, babe. You shook me all night long. What a great song. And of course, Robert Plant and the boys thought so too. They recorded it. You probably are familiar with the Led Zeppelin version of You Shook Me. Willie Dixon, I believe, wrote it, if I'm not mistaken. Muddy Waters made it famous early on, and Zeppelin, of course, took it into the stratosphere. And I like to play some of the roots music that we all know from the other famous rock bands. And like I said, the influences, the fingerprints of Muddy Waters is all over pop culture and music. Rock and roll, I mean, Eric Clapton, Cream, Zeppelin. And I mentioned the Rolling Stones took their name from a 1950 song, Rolling Stone. And I just had a request. They said, could you play that song, Tom? We've never heard it. And it came from a young listener. So I'm glad that people are turning on and educating to music, and that's what the purpose of this show and NPR Radio is all about, in fact. So let's, for the young listeners who have never heard the song Rolling Stone, from which the Rolling Stones took their name, let's turn them on to it right now, going back several decades with the late, great Muddy Waters.
Well, I wish I was a catfish. Swimming in a deep blue sea, I would have all you good looking women fishing after me, showing up after me, showing up after me. Oh love, oh love, showing up. I went to my baby's house, and I sat down on her step. She said, come on in now, buddy, you know my husband just not left. Showing up and just not left. Showing up and just not left. Oh, Lord. Oh, well. Oh, well. Well, my mother told my father just before I was born, I got a boy child coming, he's gonna be a rolling stone. Sure enough, he's a rolling stone. Sure enough, he's a rolling stone. Oh, well, he's a. Oh, well, he's a. Oh, well, he's a.
Because he is just a rolling stone. That is Muddy Waters from 1950. And, you know, I mentioned that the Stones, the band, the Rolling Stones, took their name from that song. And a lot of people don't realize also that Jan Wenner also took the name of Rolling Stone magazine from that song as well. A lot of people think, oh, you know, he must have been a Stones fan when the magazine came out. But actually, it was inspired by that song as well, because that song is a core blues song when it comes to the early roots music, as is Muddy Waters and Willie Dixon and Sonny Land Slim and all the guys that were working at Chess so many years ago. We are paying tribute to Muddy Waters and his music because this, of course, is the 35th anniversary of his passing. He died in his sleep in his home in Westmont, Illinois at age 68. He influenced just so many artists and people over the years. And we felt we would be remiss at public radio and myself personally if I did not do something to commemorate this wonderful man and the legacy of music that he gave us. Muddy was born in Mississippi, and he moved to Chicago in 1943. Of course, he was born in Mississippi in, I'm trying to remember the year of his birth, 1915, I believe it was. And in 43, he picked up and headed to Chicago. He had been doing Delta Blues prior to that in his home area. And by 1946, he had gotten very, very popular here in Chicago blues clubs. He was working at a paper mill by day and just killing it in the blues clubs by 1946 in the evenings. In fact, he got a lot of different record labels were looking at him. RCA, Columbia, Aristocrat. He wound up doing a deal with Aristocrat, thanks to someone I just mentioned, Sonny Land Slim, a fellow Delta man. But his real breakthrough didn't come till 1950, when Aristocrat morphed into the label that everybody knows down on Michigan Avenue, Chess Records. And that's when Muddy Waters' career really took off. He tied in with Willie Dixon, gave us songs like Hoochie Coochie Man, Got My Mojo Working, and, of course, Rolling Stone, the song we just heard. One of the things about Muddy that's also unique is the fact that he gave us a quote that you hear all the time. John Lennon said it. Many artists have said it. And the song is named it. It's "The Blues Had a Baby, and They Named It Rock and Roll." And, of course, if there was a midwife involved, it was definitely Muddy Waters. Let's go back to that early song, "The Blues Had a Baby, and They Named It Rock and Roll," right here on Midwest Beat.
soul. Went on a blues, had a baby, and they named him Rock and Roll.
The blues had a baby. Yes, they did. And they named it Rock and Roll, one of the great quotes of all time in the music business, and it started right there with that song. A lot of people ask me, being a long-timer in the music business, a music fan, and soon to be owner of another record store, or owner of a record store, I should say. Record Bin is opening in downtown Hobart. I'm opening that next couple of weeks here. 218 Main Street in Hobart. Look for all kinds of deep-cut stuff and fun things. And in fact, we're going to be doing some broadcasting from there. But more on that later. What I was getting to is a lot of people will ask me about certain albums or certain things to jumpstart their introduction into artists. And I've had people say, well, with Muddy Waters, where do you start? You can start almost anywhere with Muddy. He didn't have a bad album or a bad song or a bad era. But if there's two things I would recommend for those of you that are more youthful, I would say 1969, he gave a great album for Chess Records called Fathers and Sons, and it features Paul Butterfield, Mike Bloomfield, Donald Duck Dunn, Booker T, Otis Spann, Sam Lay. That is a great one to start with. Of course, then there's also King B, which we talked about, which teamed him up with Johnny Winter. And on that note, so this is not from King B, but this is a live concert in which Muddy was with Johnny and James Cotton. We started out the show early on with Mojo working from this same recording. And this is how we'll wrap it up, as we remember Muddy Mississippi Waters doing Black Cat Bone and Dust My Broom with Johnny Winter and James Cotton. My very special thanks to Joseph Morgan Field, Muddy's youngest son. Don't forget to catch him in Indy on May 12th and right here at Buddy Guy's Legends on the 29th with the great Billy Branch. Until we meet again, keep bluesing. God rest, Muddy Waters.
Believe my baby's in all.